And really, like I said, is just kind of get into the brain of Tad and how you came to develop not only one, but two very influential CRMs in our space, and then now working on a third, essentially. And so I'm a huge, huge process guy. Everything that I do is centered and, fully built around the CRM. So any calls that we make, any marketing that we do, any outbound, any inbound, any reporting, it's all based on how we, manage our relationship with the CRM and how that CRM manages the relationship with the customer, right? Hey everybody, welcome back to the Dealership Fix It podcast. Got a very special guest here with us today. His name is Tad Kilgore, and he's been in the industry for quite a while now, an influential player, has worked in dealerships, worked for dealerships, and has worked on dealerships throughout his career. What we bring Tad in for today is to talk about more or less your experience, Tad, with the CRM. You've had a couple home runs in the space in the power sports industry with CRMs, and very influential. You've got lots of users using them. So you've had two main home runs to my account, right? With Traffic Log Pro being one of the early inceptions. And then more recently, Dealership Performance, DP360. Yeah. And now you're working on a third one. So as we go through this this little interview here for our podcast, we'll talk more or less about the CRM, but you started out kind of similarly as I did, or I started out similarly like you did, working on the floor, sales, get some promotions here and there and start to make a name for ourselves. But what you're known for, I think this is my perception of the things, is that you're known for being a creator of what was the CRM that they used for many, many years. So what would you say inspired you to first create these CRM tools specifically tailored for right now and or the power sports industry as a whole?
The big one is a need. At the time I was a salesperson, and they were actually giving out, and how it always starts this way, through a bonus, through a spiff. So I ended up getting a $250 spiff for making sure that I had five logs a day. And I was one of the top two salespeople for the group. And, the way for me to stay ahead and to keep in the lead was that, I had to speak to at least five people a day. And then of those people, I always considered I would sell one or two units. So when they promoted me to floor manager, at the time they were using an Excel sheet. And the Excel sheet was, it took care of what we needed. We were able to put the customers in. We were definitely able to date stamp and time stamp and have manager sign-offs. However, at the time, I couldn't generate any reports from it because it was just a sheet that everybody was using. And I couldn't really go down and get my individual sheet. That means I'd had to have gone to sales management and asked them for a copy of it and all that. Not saying they wouldn't, but it was a lot of hassle. So at the time, my twin brother Todd, the co-creator of TLP and DP360, he was actually working in the software industry. And I came home and I said, "Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you just put something together for me that I can basically track my salespeople for five logs a day, see what their closing percentage is, kind of get an understanding of what kind of follow-up they have. Just kind of a little well-rounded, system." And he's like, "Yeah, sure." And again, like I said, he had just gotten into software. So about 7 months, when my team would come home, we would, sit around and, enjoy some football games or basketball games or a movie. And then my brother would literally go around to all the different players that I had on my team and kind of interview them. What happens when you do this? What happens when you do this? How do you handle that? How do you handle this? What do you call that? And so after about 7 months, and with my input and obviously my team's input, he had the first lead manager, because it really wasn't a CRM so much, but his first lead manager that was for the power sports industry. We'd gotten contact with a gentleman that wanted a CRM. and it was Dealer Spike. And we had talked to them and they said, well, look, we want to create a CRM and we'd like you guys to create it for us. So again, Todd and I get back together, get our hats on, and here we go. We're back to, creating a CRM. And so this time when we got to do this, I solely worked on what the items that I really wanted to do this time. What I really thought, what I'd learned from the past, 12, 13 years, and try to get them, involved in this new system. People will hear me and I'll say it now and I'll say it continue, things like lead buckets and inbound, outbound. I mean, all kinds of different scenarios that we end up using to manage the efforts of the sales staff. So we're able to go through and get this really launched out. And again, I became the general manager for a while, about a year ago. And I met a gentleman named Rohit from Ready to Ride Mobile. And again, he was talking to me about, hey, we'd like you to CRM together. And so I had an opportunity to go in and he said, we have a marketing program I think you should look at. And it wasn't more than maybe about 7 minutes into looking at this marketing program. And I was just absolutely, I've got to be involved in this. Yeah. It was everything we wanted to do on the marketing side, because the way I look at it, the CRM has two different options. They have the front end, obviously, where you do all the collecting of data and everything. And then you have the back end, which is obviously accountability, touch points and all that. So when I saw that, I just, please, I want in, And so about 8 months ago, we started in on another lead manager that actually turned over to a CRM. Our first thing we're going to do is kind of create a lead manager and then kind of move it over to a CRM. But we were just going into it. It just made more sense just to go in as a full-on CRM, marry the backside of what they have with our front side. And that's what we currently have right now. And that'll actually be launched next month.
That's awesome. Wow. What a career, man. I mean, two home runs and you're working on your third. We're going to have a grand slam by the time you're ready to retire here, Ted.
This should be the grand slam. This is a combination of everything I've wanted to do.
Yep.
That's one of the things that Ready to Ride told me is they said, you can just do however you want to set this up, however you want. And he said, there's got to be a message in that head that you want to get to folks. And one of the messages that I basically accumulated by working at the different dealerships and kind of going through and doing different things is accountability. The CRM business has done really good at the process and procedure. However, the accountability and use of the dealerships is just, it's critical. They're not doing all that they can do with the CRM. And so this time, like I said, when we're ready to create this next CRM, I definitely wanted to get in there and again, utilize my lead buckets. And when you take a demonstration through it, you'll see what I'm talking about. But it's a little bit of a gamification. We basically, we put everything in lead buckets. And then what we do is our goal is to clear it out either in the sales or take it to a dormant lead and then work our dormant leads as we need.
I love that. Let's break down some of that lineage, that story, right? Your historical accounts there. What year did you start TLP, where it turned into from an Excel spreadsheet to talking to your brother on the software side? What year was that?
That was 2003.
2003. Okay. So we're in the 2000s, the early 2000s here. By now in the automotive space, just because you referenced it earlier, there are several big name CRMs at that point, Reynolds and Reynolds. I think eLeads was even one back then, right? So there were some existing CRMs in the space. Did you look at any of those CRMs or did you build this completely from scratch based on the needs that you had at a power sports dealership?
From scratch for the needs. Before 2003 and I just knew it as a traffic log,
right?
You know what I mean? And so when we started creating it, that's when I heard the first CRM for the first time. And I knew that for me, my head was so wrapped around power sports that I just, and I hate saying this, but I just didn't think that I could learn anything from the auto side.
Right.
Which, we're all young. We all make, bad decisions. And so we really focused in on nothing but power sports, and we really wanted it to be all around system that would be all about, you know, ride now system. And then we would get these other folks that would come in, you know, the lot of other dealers that we had, and they would give their, you know, their input. And then pretty soon the system kind of just forged itself into a very easy to use, very to understand. And really, I think still to this day, it's still a powerful CRM. But for us, we started really getting into the automotive CRM and found out just how wrong we were when we got into with Assurant. And then we got a chance to see the big boys. And yeah that was eye-opening. For somebody who just loves that CRM, loves that whole process, for me to see, you know, a Reynolds and Reynolds or an Elite and stuff like that, it's fantastic. Yeah. Now, I think it's too much for what we currently do in power sports. I think that it doesn't really follow the message and follow the process that power sports does. But I really could see a lot of the use and the individual opportunities that you can create in there, and, you know, for touch points and things like that. And so that's why I was so glad when I had heard that RideNow had actually hired, you, because I figured, you know, this is what they've needed this whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, they were doing outbound phone calls this whole time, you know, CSI outbound, but nobody ever even focused on inbound. Mm-hmm. And so, we had heard, you know, that there was obviously a new chief in town, which was yourself. And we'd heard that you'd switch it to an automotive CRM. And I thought to myself, it makes sense. I mean, this is a huge group. You know, they need all the tools they can get.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I've definitely have changed my mind. I'm very open to what automotive has. I'm open to any CRM that basically has a process involved.
Well, let's talk about that, right? So let's break it down for, you know, the person that might be listening to this. They have a CRM, they don't have a CRM. You know, our goal on this podcast is just to kind of help them understand what it does, how it works, and how they can stretch a software like this to its limit to make things more efficient for their staff. And like you said, reporting, keeping control of the traffic logs, making sure their guys are doing their five logs, their five calls, whatever their internal processes are. So walk me through, you know, this it's 2003. Right, you and Todd are starting to more or less survey the sales guys, right? Get on the ground floor, ask your team members, you know, what kind of things are you logging? What should it look like when you log? Walk us through those early days of what kind of challenges that you guys were faced with. And by the way, the acronym CRM, I always understood it to stand for customer relationship management. Right. Mm-hmm. So really this is a centralized place for your dealership to put all of not only your logs of who you talk to, but also what kind of things you talked about. You attach a certain piece of product to it, you know, a VIN number, a stock number, a year make model. You've got things like a trade. The CRMs nowadays can do full on emailing, full on texting. You've got integrations with programs like, you know, some phone companies that you could do click to call stuff. So really this has kind of become the nucleus of how every, outbound conversation and even inbound conversation should take place. But when you guys were first developing this and you were probing your team members to say, hey, what kind of things should this have developing it for an on the spot CRM, early stage CRM, what were the kind of challenges that you were facing early on when you were starting this journey?
Well, the salespeople didn't want to use a CRM. I know, surprise, right? They didn't want to use a CRM. They had a great time what they were doing. They just came over and got a second face before somebody blew out of the dealership. And they weren't really too tuned in to logging. And then of course, RideNow, through the teachings of Ed Lemko and through their 20 clubs, really got them to start that whole process of logging their customers. But the salespeople, I always kind of tell people this story, and it's kind of, it's kind of funny because when I was a salesperson, to me, it was all about stamping my name on that customer to make sure that I didn't lose that deal. Because we had 25 salespeople on the floor at the time. So you had to, you could get caught into a split deal, or if they found that you went through and you weren't following up with this customer, whatever the case is, you could not be on the deal. Right. So for me, what was important was that I understand really what it's used for from my side of it as a salesperson. But then once I got into floor management and sales management, I looked at a CRM as a whole nother picture. In fact, I completely looked at it as now as a, I want to be really light on how I say this, but almost as a corral to keep salespeople in doing the right thing. And I always tell people I crossed the blue line. So I was a salesperson and now I'm a CRM guy. I basically have right CRMs around to focus on the shortcomings of salespeople. And I always would think, okay, well, what would I do? What would I do? What was my soft spots? Where was I tender? I never followed anybody I never followed up with anybody. I never made any callbacks. Okay, well, what are you going to do about that? And so we would just write this system. And then as we would find, the shortcomings of the sales staff, where we would find things that we had to kind of write our way around to keep salespeople engaged, obviously the system sort of getting more and more accountable. But when we first had it, it was really just about trying to get people to just use it.
So you're really designing this thing with the salesperson as the first person in mind. How do we get them to use it? How do we give them this tool to help more or less organize their customer pipeline to help them streamline more of the sales process, right? You're designing it fully around this first person.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. They are the whole life's blood to it.
After, we've come a long way since 2003 and a couple CRMs being developed and used industry-wide. How do you feel that developing these tools has made an impact on the processes used in these stores?
Well, I think that TrafficLog Pro, DP360, and obviously other CRM providers out there, we've all sold together a lot of units. I mean, a ton of units. And I think that the most important kind of the missed opportunity right now is, and I say this quite often, the folks I talk to now is, the process. Hey, we did it, guys. We got a process. Oh, hey, we got a procedure now. Fantastic. Accountability. And so when I was a sales manager and, general manager, and doing these different roles, it felt like I was chasing sales around all the time, salespeople all the time, and that's obviously another thing that I've written into the new CRM that I can mention later. But we feel like if we can get a salesperson, have them check into the system, and then what we know what they're doing all day, not only can we send them out leads, from the OEMs and web pages and stuff like that, but we also can kind of go through and look at what they've been doing with their day and how much time really was spent, with a customer, and how much time was, walking around the dealership, doing whatever. And so for us, I see the opportunity right now in the CRM industry as accountability. Somebody needs to come in and basically team up with the sales manager and make accountability 100%, not 80%, not 70%, but 100%. And I've seen other dealerships do it. And trust me, when I first started this, RideNow was my best, they were the best group that I had. But boy, there was the Veracas. I mean, all kinds of great groups out there that took it to the same level as a ride down.
Yep.
And they demanded, there was job performance. Your job performance demanded that this is what you do to keep your job.
Yep.
So those are the dealers that I'm happy with. I go, good job, guys. You know what? You got it. You're implementing process procedure. You got that accountability thing going on. So they're really not so much our customers. Our customers are really folks that have never used a CRM or have used a CRM, but just didn't get the critical buy-in. And we get that accountability and we make sure that they get that ROI every single month from not only to pay for the system, but also what they originally wanted to do and make more deals happen. So so that's the soft spot that I've seen. Like I said, I can pick out years out of my head, and each time that I would go back into a dealership, and not a whole lot's changed in that aspect. You're always chasing salespeople around. And you know, so for me, I just feel like, again, if we can kind of, you know, get folks in the more of accountability level and get everybody on the same plate and same page, you know, and then we've got the sales manager to make sure that it's enforced, I see good things for dealers coming up.
OEMs in our business, unlike the automotive business, are just now starting to come around to some of these processes and some of these softwares that are now available in our space, right? Just some of them within the last few years. Mm-hmm. You know, they're creating programs, they're creating spiffs, they're creating a program essentially that if you don't have these certain functions or you don't subscribe to these certain softwares and use them in your dealership, you won't qualify for some type of, you know, allocation or holdback or whatever type of program they're offering at the moment, right? So that's one of the OEM things, but we just kind of have a unique business in whole. How do you feel that the CRM being used in these dealerships with the, you know, the playfulness, I guess, of the OEMs now starting to want to see some of this data, or even some of the industry things as a whole, how have you seen these kind of morph and change over the years in the last 20 years, really, of how they want to kind of play with the dealers now data in the CRM?
Our first experience was with Jason DeFuscia and basically Polaris Industries. And Jason is one of these folks that when he works with you, he lets you understand what he's seeing through his eyes. And so he brings you and got you involved in what his pains were your pains, his needs were your needs. And so one of the things that he would talk to us about, he goes, man, most of these dealers and most of these folks don't understand the amount of money we spend to generate these leads. Mm-hmm. And we generate, and they come in and the customer doesn't get a call back. They don't get followed up with. You know, and they go and they go to somebody, you know, so a lot of times we're just spending money for our competitor to be able to take our deals. And so for us, it was really nice to sit through that OEM opportunity to understand that this is really what an OEM, you know, they spend all that money on those commercials and do all this. They've got to see a return. BRP, I've seen, especially because we've had some experiences with BRP lately. I love the way they're doing it. They send out a lead to you and you have to go in and tell BRP that for one, you've contacted them and it has to be within a certain amount of time. I'm impressed. And I think more OEMs should do that. Now for Mr. Dealer, if you don't want to play ball and you want to kind of get yourself into a situation where you don't want to be managed or micromanaged that way, man, I totally understand. I understand. But I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. I think if anything, it's just going to keep on being tied around all the different initiatives that they have. And so that was really cool for me to see the MVP program, how you could order 2 weeks early if you were basically on a CRM.
For sure. What, besides response times for the leads that they generate, what other type of information do you think that would be interesting to them or what they would want to see?
Well, obviously they want to know if it's a win or loss. You know what I mean? They want to know if the customer ultimately, you know, we call it seed to sale, cradle to grave. That was one of the big things with Polaris as well, is they want to go in and they want to see, you know, so it developed here on a, we'll say a BRP ad, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it ends up here as a delivered unit. They want to see that happen. They want to be able to track that. And I think that obviously that's one of the things that I will admit with the CRM companies, they've done very well that are out, that they've done a great job about being able to bring in all the different lead types as well as the lead types from the OEMs. And then if you do your job as a sales manager and you get these guys to, you know, log the customers, log everybody they talk to, what's going to happen is you're going to be able to paint that picture for the OEM of you know, cradle to grave, seed to sale, whatever, however you want to put it. And I think that it's not a maybe, it's a must we must be able to show how it developed and where it ended. And then the next phase, next page, the ownership, service department, you know, and then of course referrals, next unit, blah, blah, blah. And so it just keeps on turning pages and it keeps on. It's a customer for life, basically.
It's a full-on life cycle of the customer through all the different departments and then right back to square one of buying another motorcycle, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's switch gears back to the salesman, right? Because I really like how your thinking is and where your head's at with my customer is the salesperson, not the dealership principal that I'm selling this tool to. It's the salesperson because they're ultimately going to be the one that's using this on a day-to-day basis. So let's talk to them a little bit more directly through this medium here. What types of insights or KPIs can a particular salesperson at a metric store, at a Harley store, hell, even a tractor store, right? Doesn't really matter. If they're using a CRM, what is the best argument or the best accountability piece that you could say, hey, don't rely just on your sales manager or your general manager to be up your ass about getting your logs done and doing that follow-up call using this CRM software. Let me show you how you can use it to better your sales process and make more sales. What types of insights or KPIs do you think that they should be looking at first?
Well, the easiest one, the very easiest one, if you think your group, your salespeople, your sales managers, you know, getting the salespeople to do the job, the first thing you look at is you look at the closing percentage. You know, 15 to 20% closing ratio is something that we used to pull off right now because they used to force 5 logs a day. And so you would see somebody get about, you know, 100, 110, you know, logs in the system on a monthly basis. And of that, they would close this many. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I see a lot more closes than that. I've seen people have closed 40 or 50 units. You know what I mean? And but you know, they've got a lot of walk-ins coming through. But the first thing I always look at is if you've got to know your closing ratio and you've got to understand your closing ratio. And the way I've got a trainer that I'm training right now, and he used to work with me at the dealership that I had, and now he's, you know, he's turned the corner, he's on our side. I was talking to him about this. I said, this dealership that we had, I said, they're at a 32% closing ratio. And he says, well, God, sounds like they're doing really well. I said, well, yeah, they're doing really well. I said, if they told me they were selling multiple units, so I would give them basically, you know, they would come in and I put them in as one lead in and 3 sales out. But they didn't, they don't have a lot of multiple units. So what they're doing is they're only logging Mr. or Mrs. Goodbuyer. And then at that point, you know, because the sales manager is stuffing a few of the web leads down there, if it wasn't for that, it'd probably be a 45, 50%. So the way I look at it is when you get closer to 15 to 20%, you basically just understand what your overage is. And then you add that percentage back on your top line, your logs line. And that'll tell you how many folks that aren't getting logged and how many deals you're missing. To me, if you understand the percentages and you become a student of the percentages of the steps, because then at that point, your percentages will tell you where you're missing.
Right.
Your sit down percentage. You know, you listen, nobody buys a bike on their 2 feet. You got to sit the person down. You got to offer them finance. You got to slow their roll. Well, how many of those people are you sitting down? You know, how many are you writing up? And of the write ups, how many are you sticking through the box or business office? And how many are coming out to a delivery? Are you a type of group that says, hey, you got your driver's license with you? Great. Let me just show you what this thing costs. It doesn't mean you have to buy it. Let me just show you what it costs. And so they're stuffing a lot of people through the box. And guess what? They're selling more bikes. So there is a real necessary reason to have this accountability and have this 100% buy-in. If you use the CRM as it's to be used, the CRM will paint you a nice picture of what you're missing. And then it'll give you an opportunity to create an action plan. And then you go to that action plan, and that's kind of where we're really looked at these days is we're going to find deficiencies for dealerships. What is your deficiency? Do you know your closing ratio? Do you know how many of your customers are BBACs?
That's great. That's great. Yeah. I think participation is the number one factor of why CRMs either succeed or fail. Right. And it's so interesting that you talk about closing percentages and how you break them down into the old LEMCO step process, right? Because everybody starts as a log, you know, they're getting logged into the system as a greet, right? And then you're looking at your percentages from greet to sit down, right? How many people do you sit down? And then you look at your percentages from sit down to write up. These are, I'm just talking about the main points, right? But from sit down to write up, and then from write up, that's kind of where the cliff is, right? That's where a customer will either commit to the purchase or not. And that's where you get your final closing percentage. So if you're following the path of the journey of the buying process through LEMCO's eyes, it's not so different from what I do with internet sales, right? I look at how many outbound activities you're performing with phone calls, with text messages, with emails, smoke signals, anything, right? That you're virtually trying to talk to these customers with. And then what's the percentage to contacts of all those outbound contacts? How many people did you actually talk to? Of all those people that you talked to, how many people do you set an appointment with? From the appointments, how many actually show up, and then how many actually sell once they're in the showroom, right? So there's all these correlations to it starting at the very beginning of just putting it in there, and then you can watch it all the way through the journey down the line to sale. And so that's just a really good point that that I wanted to hit on. Any other insights or KPIs that people can look at their current CRM now, whether it be Traffic Log Pro or DP360 or eLeads or whatever they're using now? There's a couple of them out there. What other things in your mind could they look at other than closing percentages to say, I know where I'm at, I know where I want to be, here's some metrics that I can look at to get there?
Is, five of them come in, three of them sit down, two of them go to the box, one buys.
Yep.
So there's that process. And I've always been a fan of it because I've seen it work multiple times. I've enforced it. And so that's always been a real big one for me. But there is something, and you brought up, and I think it's fantastic that you did, is we actually added a contact step. So greet's not our first step anymore. Contact is. And so from contact to greet, what's that percentage right there? And so you've done very, very well for right now figuring that out. And that's what I like, is because, we paid attention to it. We thought, well, man, he's going clear to contact. And he wants to know how it started and how it ended and where they get through. So we start out at contact, then we have a sold, and then we have a delivery. How many of these sold bikes are actually delivered? And it's not, you're like, well, hey, come on, man, that's crazy. You sell a bike, you're going to want to get it out. Not all the time. Sometimes it depends on how busy you are. If you're a smaller dealership, yeah, you're not going to have that problem. I got a real good feeling about a statement that I used to use all the time. I would say, hey, imagine somebody locked your front doors. Could you still make a living? And during the COVID days, to a certain degree, those front doors were locked.
That's what happened.
Because, I mean, you probably saw this too. They'd go from, 150 leads coming in to now all of a sudden they get almost 600-700 leads coming in through the OEMs, through all the different sources. And there's so many sources now that are out there that these dealers get. So, it used to be so much that the floor, that the front door, the walk-in was everything to everybody. Not anymore. Everything around them, all those different sources that you get, that you pay for, that you don't pay for, the OEMs feeding you stuff, your stuff, it overloaded us.
Yeah.
So, to me, I would say that it's the outside leads that are going to be the primary now, and the inside is showing up to the dealership, because at the end of the day, they're going to show their most interest through the outside leads, through the outbound. I mean, coming through the outbound, and then they're going to contact, and then we're going to invite them in, and then they're going to be taken through the process. We're used to it would just be, yeah, come on into the dealership. We'd go that way. Well, those still happen, but today's buyer is a lot smarter.
There's a lot of that going around. one thing I think that we should clarify is when we're talking about logs, the word logs, there's some varying definitions of what that word is or how a store or dealership is using it. I've always felt a log, when I got to get my quote unquote five logs per day, I always felt that that was entering somebody new into the system. What, just real quick, what's your definition of a log in the CRM?
Well, there's a couple of different angles that I look at. Is putting a log in the system is actually entering somebody into the actual into the system.
And you've had an interaction with them on the showroom floor, like
but I don't consider BBACs as one of those logs.
Okay.
So it has to be five fresh logs a day. The BBACs are just, the BBACs are counted in a whole nother tunnel. And then of course, you can start working with how many web leads you had, how many inbound phone calls, how many outbound phone calls, obviously that fun stuff. But for me, there's a lead and there's a log. Lead comes in via the web, via the outside portals, you know what I mean? And then it's not a log until it's logged into the system and a status is assigned to it or a step is assigned to it.
Got it. Okay. So I've seen this before. You're an OG in the power sports industry. I'm sure you've seen it too, but let's say it's a slow day at the dealership and I'm going to pick on Harley because they only sell one line. And, on a Wednesday afternoon in the middle of summer in, a hot part of the country, not a whole lot of showroom customers are coming up, but their manager, per their process and per how the CRM interacts with the reporting, it still mandates a five log per day minimum per salesperson. I've seen some pretty creative sales guys in my time. I'm sure you have as well. So what do you do about the sales guys that log service customers, or maybe a customer came in to grab some parts, or he bought a t-shirt for motor clothes and they log those customers in the system. They're not necessarily looking to buy a bike that day or maybe anywhere in the future, but they're part of that five log per day so that they can get their manager off their butt. What would you say about those types of scenarios there?
Look, I don't like puffing the logs. I'm not a fan of puffing the logs. That's a no-no to me. However, if I mandate you to have five logs and the front door only gives you three, you better go find the other two. And I don't mean bring me a guy carrying a bunch of oil, wanting to know where the bathroom is. I don't want that guy. I don't want that guy. I want the guy, because if you're smart and you're in a circumstance that you're like that at a Harley dealership, parts department's always bamming, always getting parts people in. People are always buying parts. Same thing in a Metric dealership. So as a salesperson, I would be near the parts department and I would be creating opportunity for them coming through. What are you riding now, brother? Oh yeah, have you seen the new one? Oh, you haven't? Man, yeah, you're right. I don't want the guy lugging out oil, wanting to know where the bathroom is. What's your first name? John. Okay, John, thank you. And I put him in the lead as John, John Oil. If you can't strike up a conversation with a guy or gal coming out of the parts department, there's something going on there. You know what I mean? And so for me, and then if they would come to me and go, Tad, man, parts department's totally dead. Service department, they're slow. Well, get on the phones. Get on the phones.
Let's do some prospecting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's never nothing to do.
Let's switch gears here. And let's talk about kind of the trends and developments, right? So CRMs have come a long way. We've got integration points with our DMS now. We can now do inventory feeds. Like I said earlier, they can do communication types of all sorts, emails, texting, click to call with recorded phone calls. So being that you're in your third CRM development right now, what types of trends or, more or less developments in the CRM have you seen that you're trying to build into these, or maybe they're on your wish list? What types of new things are available to CRMs nowadays?
So to me, I think that the most important adoption is click to call, reputation management. The click to call.
Huge.
I got this gray in my beard because of listening to click to calls. Because I used to sit there and listen to my guys and I was like, oh my gosh, did we really say that? Oh my gosh. Hey guy, what are we doing here? Let me help you understand this. You tell me that I can hear a conversation that I've never been able to hear before. Oh boy. you just, for somebody like me, that's just, oh, that's heaven right there.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And I have some accountability.
That, yeah. Yeah. Through the accountability, you get everything going. Start working on the salespeople, you know, listen to them. It's, you know, I used to say is the type of person you are is when nobody's looking. And that is the key thing. When sales manager doesn't have their eyes on you, sales manager's not looking at you, floor manager's not looking at you, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're the cool guy at the bike shop, or are you actually in there to make a living? Now, next thing we're going to do is we're going to start coaching you. Well, what do you mean? I mean, I'm pretty good. You are, but you want to be better, don't you? Yeah. Well, here, listen to this. Oh man, I shouldn't have said that, should I? No, you should not have.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, right? So how do you envision the role of CRM and the tools that they have and how they're interacting with a particular power sports dealership? How do you envision them kind of evolving over the years? What more could they do for us? You've clearly got your process outlined to where it's a step-by-step, you graduate from one thing to the next because maybe you don't want to overload them or you want to do it in sessions, if you will. But you know, let's say we're a fully graduated in Tad's world CRM user as a dealership as a whole. What other tools do you think would be beneficial, or what do you envision would be adding on to this system or this process in the future?
For me, that's really when the backside or the marketing portal comes in, because the marketing portal is something that if it's set up correctly, it's used correctly, it will do a lot of just fantastic stuff. It'll just set it and forget it. And people will be coming in, they'll be contacting you. You'll be able to scrape more opportunities.
Okay.
And I think what's going to happen is now I hear a lot of stuff about AI in the CRM industry, and it's just touch point. There's no AI involved. ChatGPT, yeah, that's AI. But there's nothing going on like that inside a CRM correctly right now.
Well,
all touch points.
Let's keep going with that marketing thing, right? So how do you, what type of marketing are you talking about specifically? Paid media, organic media, social media, email media? How is that tied into this envisioning these future developments?
Well, it's the five and five. Each person went on Facebook has 300 to 500 friends. And then when you bring them into your friends, then you get to see their friends, and then it's all of a sudden it's built up. My personal opinion is it's social media that is most important. Right now, social media rules the roost.
But how does that social media piece tie into the CRM essentially?
Well, the social media piece eventually, what you're doing is you're driving them to, obviously, as you know, with social media, or any sort of outbound, you're driving them to a landing page. And through the landing page, it will be fed through the CRM. And the CRM obviously feeds the dealership.
Okay.
So to me, you're feeding it through a landing page. You know, I mean, just look at, if you've got something going on, you're promoting something, or you're doing this or doing whatever you're doing in social media. If you don't have a place for them to land, or if you can't, you know, have a way to glean their information, then you're just wasting your time. You're going to have a lot of looky-loos going, neat, wow, cool, wow. But if you've really got a call to action and people are coming in, putting their name in, and I want to be a part of that. You know, it's funny with a $75 helmet, all kinds of little things. And in the drum world, we used to give away free drumsticks and we'd have people sign up like crazy. So there's going to have to be. Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about more or less just kind of combining everything in this unsiloed world, right? Because today's landscape, you know, you've got one website that you can create landing pages on, but you have to almost kind of, you know, integrate it into your CRM when you generate the lead from it, right? And maybe some people are using an outside email source, and the social media, organic or paid account that advertise that landing page for people to go to and submit a lead to your CRM, it's all siloed. So you're more or less, I think, talking about, you know, bringing all these tools into one interface or one user experience that a dealership can look at their customer base and advertise to them, as well as work the lead through the entire journey from front to back, right? Is that kind of what you're saying in that?
When I saw the HubSpot and how at the time it was just so, you know, it just really started up, but how it wrapped in to the influencer side of you, and then who influenced you, and then all the stuff of your interest and interest of people of interest. Oh my gosh, it was just, it was overwhelming. I wanted so bad, and that's unfortunately, because that's around 2012 when I got out of the CRM industry, but that was my next best, biggest thing. You know, if you just watch social media will tell you the next thing to do.
Yes, because for sure.
Because they'll tell you how they want to be talked to. They'll tell you how they want to be communicated. They'll tell you how they want to, you know, how they want to address you. You should have something that is just, that's right on the cusp of excitement.
I love it. Excitement is what drives our industry.
It is.
As we kind of round out here, our little session, you know, let's talk about some things that we learned, right? You got your start way back in the day, over 20 years ago, and really started to develop in around 2003, your first CRM. And you did it in a way that was built out of just sheer necessity, right? You did it with the central user in mind, the salesperson, right? The person that's responsible for driving 90% of the activities within a CRM. And you hit a home run with that one, right? It was hugely successful. You learned a lot from that and you built a second one. And everything that you couldn't do in the first one, you definitely built into the second one and left it a little bit more open source, we'll call it, so that there could be future updates and integrations made to it. Absolutely knocked that out of the park. You did it in terms of the salesperson being held accountable. You did it in terms of not wanting to chase a sales guy and mandated processes that are kind of built into the CRM with some kind of workflow or journey step progression. So we love that. That helps keep things nice and orderly for a salesperson to do their tasks as a salesperson, right? One of the biggest piece of advices that you gave on this is that you know, your closing percentage is really going to tell you where you're at performance-wise in the numbers, right? And that only is going to be true if you're logging every opportunity, every log, right? Every interaction that is an actual log, not fluffing the numbers. So that's definitely important. You know, you had some OEM interactions, right? Polaris was one of your first early adopters to not only wanting to know what's happening with the leads that they're sending to the dealership in terms of the data that the CRM is providing to them, but now you're starting to work with companies like BRP. I know Harley Davidson is into it, and some of the Japanese OEMs that they want to know, hey, we are spending a lot of money for advertising, for lead generation, even events and giveaways for your dealer's direct marketing area. What is happening with these customers that we're sending to you? And really the only way that they can kind of see behind that curtain is a direct integration to the CRM, kind of look at the back end of stuff, right? So that data sharing with your OEM partners is huge. And that's only going to give them more feedback on maybe what's working and what's not, as long as you're following the processes, right?
Yeah.
As far as, you know, CRMs, you know, and the resources, you know, you and I were fortunate because we came from a big group and we had some people in place such as yourself and myself to help mandate certain processes or steps we needed to do. But for the guy that, you know, is just runs one or maybe two dealerships, you know, there's some pretty simple things that they can do to get started early to make sure that they're mandating the right types of things that they want to see in this thing called CRM, a customer relationship management tool, right? And that's kind of through some features and benefits and some gamification. And certainly you said that social media is the next biggest thing and connecting all those dots into the paid media side, the organic media side, to watch that customer come all the way through from first interaction to conversion on site to working it with a salesperson and then ultimately being sold. So I guess just kind of closing all that out, what we learned today and your over 20 year career in building and implementing and training on CRMs. For the last question I got for you, Tad, what advice would you have for the power sports dealership looking to enhance their current sales process and overall improve their relationship with the CRM at the dealership?
Well, it's an easy stroke. Sales manager. If the sales manager is not bought into the process, if the sales manager is not leading the charge, If the sales manager is not open to understanding deficiencies and a plan, then it's going to fail. And it all comes down to that. If there was just the one thing that I would tell you that you have to have, is you have to have sales managers buy-in. If you don't, I can sit here and make up all the great little analogies I want all day long, and it's just going to tank. Because at the end of the day, you're managing the efforts of the sales staff through that sales manager. And Mr. General Manager, your sales manager cannot be so closed-minded that they don't want to understand how to sell more units. If I'm not mistaken, they get paid on those, right?
So they get paid by their sales team. Mm-hmm. You know, there's various different pay plans. So let's talk about that, right? Let's say we've got some sales managers listening to this right now, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe some of them are a little guilty of coming down with a case of titleitis, meaning, you know, they used to be a rock star sales guy. I've certainly come across my fair share of people who have just killed it in sales. But when they get that manager title, you know, the old saying, you know, hey, I'm the boss now. And they kind of kick their feet up on the desk and they start pointing at people. Hey, I need you to go talk to that guy and you do that guy. I'll sit right here at the desk and I'll write all the deals. Half the time they don't get, up to kind of close the deal or greet a customer. But let's be a little bit empathetic. And let's say that, you know, there are other things that sales managers do. Inventory control is one of them. Yeah. Putting out fires, maybe talking to the service manager, the parts manager about accessorizing or reconditioning used bikes, you know, whatever it is, right? So we can be a little empathetic towards them and say, hey, they're probably busy. But when we say, hey, get your sales manager involved, or you as a sales manager should be more involved in your CRM activities, functions, reporting, what's one thing that we can say, hey, here's just maybe somewhere where we can get started if you're looking to kind of make this attitude change, if you will? Like they hear this and all of a sudden they get a stroke of genius and say, you know what, I'm going to be more involved in my CRM. What would be the first thing that you would tell them to look at their dealership with their CRM, that whatever they may have?
Well, first you got to mandate, you know, again, and we've talked about this, you've got to mandate a certain amount of logs on a daily basis.
Okay.
And if you...
Do you have a number for that?
Yeah, I always say five, because like I said, three is kind of the jump off part. You know, three, you can usually find three people, and then it's four and five, you got to look a little harder for. On Saturdays, you're going to get five. That's not a big issue. Sundays, you're going to get five. But it's not like that in every dealership. So I can't just go, what are you talking about? You don't have five customers? No, the thing is set a baseline, mandate a baseline, get a baseline. This is our baseline. And until you mandate that baseline, first of all, you have no control over the floor. And so it's super important to mandate that baseline, get a baseline. And then at that point, once you have a baseline, then you can see who's following direction, who's not, who needs coaching, who doesn't. You know what I mean? And another thing I would tell a sales manager is, and I've been a sales manager, get out behind the desk, do some second facing, get out and look at the people. Because here's the thing, they're in the desk, they've been here in the desk like this, and they're in the walls, and the salespeople are out just doing what they want to do. It doesn't hurt to get out and stretch. Get out, walk around a little bit, meet some customers. Hey, is he getting you taken care of? You know, become active on the floor. Because right now, I will admit, and this is probably one of the things that I should have brought up, is you can do worksheets now, or you can do disclosure worksheets now, you can do credit apps, you can get all that from the CRMs. You got the people logged in? Yeah, boom, boom. You know what I'm saying?
It's all right there, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, and then again, if you possibly can, get the click to call function. You know what I mean? It's gonna change your life.
I agree. That click to call function is a game changer, where you not only have to dial anymore, but like logging calls, it does it for you as soon as you click it. It connects you right away. I mean, it's a game changer. I agree.
Well, look at the end-to-end solution it provides you. So somebody clicks the call, and you not only are you tracking it to listen to it, but you're also tracking it. It goes right into the CRM. And then from there, when they come in, they get updated the CRM. Then they're taking them through basically the sales cycle. And then they're a customer for life, because now all they did is click that click to call. And now all of a sudden they're in the Customer for Life program. I love it.
CFL, Customer for Life.
All right, sir. That used to be our marketing portal's name, by the way. It's Traffic Log Pro. We call it the CFL.
I remember that. Yeah. I've used TLP many years, man. We stretched it as long and hard as we could. And we knew you would
outgrow it eventually. We knew because you were bringing a whole nother world. TLP was all about outbound. It really had, it had some inbound, but it was really light on the inbound. So I figured, yeah, when they bring in a heavyweight, a hot rod like yourself, and I didn't think it was going to last much longer. But, you know, knowing that, I will admit, with our CRM and the other CRM companies, they get it. They get it. So thank you for teaching us.
You're welcome. Well, there we have it, folks. Tad Kilgore is his name. How can we get a hold of you? LinkedIn? You got an email? You got a website?
Yeah, you can contact me through LinkedIn. Email address is tad@ready2ridemobile.com. And LinkedIn is a great way to contact me. I get a lot of DMs. That's how I end up getting a hold of you. A lot of DMs. Yeah. I mean, it's a great, I love LinkedIn. I really do. I love the interaction on LinkedIn, but more than anything is all these people that used to not be, that you couldn't reach out to and talk to, they're at your fingertips now. And it's absolutely fantastic. I can talk to one of my influencers. You know what I mean? And so I considered you one of my influencers. And so I was like, I'm going to reach out to them. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what I love about it. But, you know, feel free to get a hold of me. If you have any questions, I'll show you what we do. But again, our CRM is going to be about people that are accountability heavy.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely include your email and your LinkedIn link in the show notes. So anybody just look at the bio there. We'll have Todd's information there. You can certainly reach out to him if you got any questions from this podcast. I want to thank you for coming in. We definitely deep dove into CRM today. It's certainly a hugely important part of the dealership function, especially for sales and all the opportunities that are coming your way, showroom, web, inbound. We talked about a lot of the functions that users can benefit off of internally. So I really appreciate you coming in. Certainly a master and a mover of all things CRM related in your long 20-year career here. So I appreciate you coming on, Tad. Mr. Kilgore, as we like to say, in the professional side of LinkedIn. And we'll definitely see everybody on the next show. We appreciate you listening, guys.
It's been an honor. Thank you so much.